are a proud member of the 143 Podcast Network.
How's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez, and you are listening to the House of Indie Podcast. And this week, I have a very special guest. I have the man himself, the Detective Interstellar himself, Milton Lawson. How's it going?
Oh, it's doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, man. So how's it been going, man?
It's going pretty fantastic. I am going through the process of having a published book for the first time here.
Yeah.
And it's been a milestone that I've been working forward to for several years. And to see this step come about, it's another learning process, as is everything that I've gone through up until this point. But I'm really enjoying it, and some of the initial feedback on the book has been really good. Mm-hmm. And I'm a total pessimist, so you know, receiving good feedback is kind of a shock, even though I feel confident about myself.
Yeah.
So I'm you know, over the moon when that happens.
Yeah, I'm the same way, man. I like when people are like, "Hey, man, great episode," or "Hey, that was awesome." I'm like, "Are you sure about that?" But we are our worst. Our own worst critics, right? So,
oh yeah.
So let's get into the book. So if you can do something real quick, give us the log line for Thompson Heller, Detective Interstellar.
Sure. Thompson Heller, Detective Interstellar is a 3-issue miniseries published by Sourcepoint Press and Comics Experience. And the idea here is that Thompson Heller is a private detective who travels the stars solving cases that have political or moral intrigue. And he's known throughout the galaxy as kind of one of the most science-based atheists. And it just so happens that the woman he is falling in love with is a kind of high-ranking religious academic. And so each issue in the miniseries is a kind of standalone one-and-done mystery to be solved. And on top of that, over the course of the 3-issue arc, the relationship romance angle develops and continues.
Yeah, I was able to read the first issue, and it was a really should I use the word? It was an interstellar issue. it was a really good issue. Definitely intrigued me with the detective aspect and the story that there. And yeah, I get that it could be a standalone, but there is an ongoing narrative as well. So it's really, really interesting to me, and I quite enjoyed it myself.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And you've got Dave Chisholm doing the work on the artwork, right?
Yeah. That is one of the most fortunate aspects of this whole project that happened. And there's a little bit of a story behind that. I've been working on this project for a while, and there was kind of a beta version of the project that had another artist started. And we made some progress on it, and we just reached a point where things weren't working out and we needed to make a change. And I was kind of lost how to do that. Every resource I've seen about how to find an artist makes it sound a lot easier than it turns out to actually be in practice.
Yeah.
And one of the things I was doing, I was spending a lot of time on DeviantArt looking for people. And one of the people I was following was the artist Walter Ostley of Metal Shark Bro.
Yeah.
And that dude, in addition to being a great artist, he just has impeccable taste.
Yeah.
And so I would just see like, okay, who is he following? Mm-hmm. Who is he giving good feedback to? And that's how I found Dave Chisholm. Walter was giving a lot of thumbs up to a bunch of Dave's work. Mm-hmm. And I did a short project with Dave, just a little short story standalone called The Winter Sale.
Cool.
That is about a independent music store. And, you know, Dave is the expert on all things music.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't even know that at the time that I approached him for that that project. So, you know, it's sort of like, you know, going up to LeBron James and asking, like, hey, do you play any sports or anything?
Yeah, that's funny. I had a brief conversation with him. The way I did these appointments, I spoke to him earlier in the day today, depending as we record this. And he says hi, by the way, but yeah, he definitely, we like took a better part of the episode talking about music. So, so depending off if this episode comes out before or after, you guys have either are going to hear it or have heard it. So, check that out. But, he's an expert. He has a doctorate in music, and yeah, that's super interesting. That happened. And it's kind of like fate, right? You had a music project, and then you reached out to him, and it was just like a perfect relationship. Super cool, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is not the only thing that you're working on, right? You've got this one. It comes out in October, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah. The current plan is October 28th. As we all know, comics is kind of weird, and sometimes things come early or late, but that's the plan for it right now.
Yeah, well, let's get into that a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the distribution process, because that's a little kind of a crazy thing that's going on right now, right? And one of the biggest crazy things is that you always get like an FOC code months and months before the book comes out, right? So I'm sure this book is in previews right now, and then FOC comes up a little bit later, and then the book's not going to come out for a few months. So that's a little weird already, right? And you, before we went on air, you talked to me a little bit about how you listened to the episode when I had Amy on from Pulp 716, right? And
yes,
you found interest in that. Talk to us a little bit about the conversation that we had right before we hit the record button.
Well, we were talking about the distribution and the challenges that the COVID world has brought us, and it just so happened right around this time of year. And well, even this time of year is inaccurate, because my book also got delayed because mm-hmm. of COVID. And it was right at the point where the release date question was kind of unclear. Mm-hmm. So once things got started back up, it went from totally nebulous to like, hey, we need the pitch for previews tomorrow kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
it went from like, we got no idea to, well, like, okay, we need this tomorrow. Okay. So that was crazy. But I've been working on a short documentary about my local comic book shop. I'm based in Houston, Texas, and my favorite retailer is a place called Bedrock City. They just do it great. They do mainstream and indie. And I recorded them while they were doing their ordering. Wow. for Jonathan Hickman's House of X, Powers of X.
Okay. Yeah.
Series.
That was a huge
just
one.
To kind of document that process. And I learned a lot and got some interesting footage. But now, trying to edit that material, it seems totally out of date, because, you know, first of all, you've got the COVID situation. And second of all, the whole change in distribution that's happening. Mm. So a lot of the things that we were talking about then don't really apply anymore. So I'm trying to think of what to do with this material, if anything. Yeah. And I was talking to them the other day, and I don't know how many of these details I'm able to divulge, but, you know, yeah, there are challenges, but they're taking them in stride, mm-hmm. and everything's going well for them. I know I've seen a few things on the internet that were kind of more in the complainy route, but I loved your conversation with Pulp 716, because they seem like, you know, they're adapting to the new reality mm-hmm. pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that seems to be like, I don't want to say a rare thing, because I've heard conversations from other retailers where they've said it was already kind of difficult already because there was so much to do, and it's a long process already. And then to throw this kind of this, this wrench in the system kind of made it even more difficult. And yeah, there are going to be people who complain about it because it's already a rough situation to kind of get all these books out and then all these things. Now you have, during the pandemic, there was like two or three different places to go to order. Now there's like, I think Amy said that she's got two places that she orders, but they are taking it, like you said, in stride, and they are adapting. And yes, we are all humans, and yes, when something frustrates us, and yes, if it's not easy, we tend to complain. And it doesn't make the retailer who complains about this process a bad person or a bad shop owner. Yeah. It doesn't make them a bad person at all. It just means that, hey, it's frustrating, and when things frustrate us, we complain about it a little bit. And I like how Amy and them are kind of looking at it from a different angle and seeing the brighter side of things. So that was really refreshing to talk to her and hear kind of a different side of things rather than what I was hearing other shop owners say. And yeah, they're not all complaining. So that was a really cool thing to talk about. Are you thinking about revisiting and reshooting?
I'm thinking about even rethinking the frame.
Okay.
Because the original frame was New Comic Book Day itself. Now I'm thinking of revisiting and expanding the frame to where it's kind of more just about the yeah. comic shop itself.
Okay.
See how they're adapting in this new world. But of course, you know, even that is a fraught issue because it's unclear how safe you can even do that. Mm-hmm. I'm in Houston, and right now we're one of the biggest hotspots in the country.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to put people unnecessarily at risk just to answer some questions. So
yeah
it's a question mark at the moment.
Yeah, as is a lot of things right now, but I mean, hopefully sometime soon we can see some kind of normalcy come back together. So, but with that said, you've got a few more projects coming up very soon, correct?
Yeah, I have some in the works. I think soon, as far as the timeline, might be stretching the meaning of the word soon.
Okay.
I think after Thompson Heller, my next project probably won't hit shops until 2021.
Okay.
But we've got our noses to the grindstone, and awesome. we're working hard on it.
Well, that's good. At least you're working. You're working on getting something out. So awesome. Yeah, it is quite a little bit. This year has been absolutely crazy, but it feels like it's going by a little bit fast, probably because how crazy it is. But yeah, so I'm glad that we're going to see more coming from you. So I have been looking through some of your stuff here, and is this coming out soon? Is this coming out, or has it already come out? Because I can't really tell, and I've probably dropped the ball on my research efforts here. But Orson Welles, Warrior of the Worlds, has that already come out, or is that in the works?
That's the one that's in the works.
Okay.
And that one is planned to be published by Scout Comics.
Okay.
And the status on that is we're in the middle of it. It's a very ambitious project, and I think you're probably familiar, but maybe not everyone listening. Scout has an interesting distribution format called Nonstop, where what they do is they put out the equivalent of what the first issue would be, and then follow that up 3 months later with the entire first trade.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's what we're doing now. We've already got the first issue completed, but we're working on making the full trade. Mm-hmm. And the trade is going to be north of 100 pages. So it's both for myself and for my co-creator, the artist, Eric Whalen. It's kind of our first time doing something of that magnitude. So we're learning a little bit there as well.
Yeah. Cause this book, Thompson Heller, is your publishing debut, right? Or am I mistaken?
Yeah. It's the first full length thing I've had published. I did have I did have a small short story in an anthology last year called Roads Not Taken.
Okay.
Which was a it was a collection of short stories around the idea of people taking road trips with famous people.
Okay.
And so some of the people took road trips with like the astronaut Krista McAuliffe.
Oh, wow.
Or Charlie Chaplin, or even a more abstract figure. One person takes a road trip with death. Mm-hmm. And then for my story, I took a road trip with the legendary film critic Roger Ebert.
Oh, wow.
And so the title of that comic is Roger Ebert and Me. And that's sort of like a magical road trip through the world of movies.
Super cool. Super cool. I've got a couple more questions because I did make a mistake and say that was your publishing debut, but it's not your published. It may have been your full length comic book publishing debut because I see you've got a book here that you've written as well, right? We'll get into that here. We're going to take a small break. After we come back from the break, we'll talk about that a little bit.
Cool.
All right, and we're back from the break. So before we took the break, I was talking to you a little bit how I made a mistake. Yeah, I make mistakes. I'm human, whatever. But you wrote a book about four Texan travel check four Texans. See, look how I did that. I can't even speak anymore. Four Texans traveling in Europe, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was a travel memoir that I it actually originated as a sort of a college assignment. And then I just kept expanding it. I went on a month long, sort of backpacking trek around Europe with, my brother and a couple of my friends. Gave observations about the places we went. We went to Italy, to France, to the Netherlands, to the UK, to Switzerland. We just had a great time and I wrote it, and it's available as an ebook on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a dollar or two or something.
Yeah. Super cool though. But so was that your first time in Europe?
Yeah. 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 So that was a total eye-opening experience.
Super cool. Yeah. Me and my wife always talk about, we always dream it. We should travel the world. And it sometimes, for some people, it feels like it's a kind of different lifetime, but that's really cool, that you did something like that and wrote a really cool book about, traveling with your friends and family. Super awesome. You know, talk to me a little bit about, your creative process a little bit. How do you get into that? Is there something that you always have to do? Do you like a lot of creators, they always say, I got to listen to music or I have something playing in the background. Do you do something similar? Is there always something that you always have to go back to kind of get you in that creative space?
I have to say sort of, I'm going to give both a yes and a no answer to that.
Okay.
Because, the sort of big questions about every project are different. Like the things that inspire a project and at what level of detail it enters into my brain is different every time.
Yeah.
Some of them start with just a kernel. Some of them come from the muses as like fully formed. And this one has a kind of interesting origin story because I'm a active member of the Comics Experience Workshop, run by former Marvel editor Andy Schmidt, the guy who's mostly responsible for the version of Guardians of the Galaxy that you see nowadays. Mm-hmm. And they have these challenges in the workshop, kind of like on a monthly basis. And one of the challenges was to use a new character creation technique.
Okay.
A pro had come up with this technique to where you could devise a new character by taking a known person or a known character and combining them with either a different known character or putting them in an entirely different context. So the example they used to illustrate the concept was take the the sort of freedom fighter guy from Braveheart, William Wallace.
Okay.
But then turn him into a Star Trek captain.
All right.
And so now you've got to, you know, just from those two data points, you can start imagining an entirely different character. Mm-hmm. So the assignment was to use that technique to create a new character and write a short story about it.
Yeah.
So that's how Thompson Heller was born. And I wrote an 8-page short that took this idea forward. And I got a lot of positive feedback from it. And then the next step was to expand it into a full-length first issue and then expand it into a miniseries.
That's a really cool technique, because as soon as you said it, I started thinking of things in my head of how I can do that. I was like, whoa, there's so many different ways I can do that in my head right now. And it's super cool. So what was your inspiration for Thompson Heller? How did you relate that technique and coming up with this book?
So at the moment, I had the journalist and essayist Christopher Hitchens on my brain.
Okay.
I had maybe just recently read one of his pieces or something. And one of my all-time favorite books is Transmetropolitan from Warren Ellis. Mm. And I knew that Warren Ellis was inspired by taking the journalist Hunter S. Thompson and putting him in a cyberpunk setting. So I said, okay, here's this journalist I like, Christopher Hitchens. Let me put him in a sort of science fiction setting.
Okay.
And then the notion of a private detective seemed kind of a natural fit, because, you know, a journalist investigates, and Hitchens was known for going to dangerous places and observing things. And I thought, okay, cool. And then I felt that there would be some comfort in sort of like the tropes of like the noir detective, that there were a lot of elements there that everyone would recognize and understand. And I wrongly, naively thought that those would help me as a writer. And I found out that the mystery genre is freaking hard to write.
Yeah, that's probably putting it very lightly, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, I was so unprepared for that aspect of it. It was quite a learning experience. I literally am wearing a hat at the moment. So hats off to the great mystery writers of this world, because darn is hard to do.
So what is one of the biggest challenges writing a mystery do you find?
Well, I think that the challenges of writing a mystery are actually compounded by the comics medium. If you choose to do a single mystery within a, you know, standard floppy 22-24 page issue, because length is a challenge in that format, because you've got to provide a sufficiently complicated mystery to where a smart person would not be able to arrive on the scene and instantly solve it. You need to have twists and turns that sort of logically come about. You need to have multiple potential plausible scenarios so that the reader can think like, okay, maybe this person did it, maybe that person did it. And then have it culminate in a satisfying conclusion that's simultaneously surprising, but also fits what you know. And you know, you've got 5 panels on average per page, and like 24 pages to do all of that in that available space, I think is pretty challenging.
Yeah, I think that's challenging. Just even if you're not writing a mystery book, right? That's just challenging altogether. And you know, this book, Thompson Heller, is definitely a whodunit. At least the first issue, and the person who actually, you know, you find out at the end who actually done it, and it the book threw me off. I got to tell you, it threw me off. This was the complete different person who I actually thought in my head who was actually the culprit here. And it actually worked very well. I was like, oh, why didn't I see that when I was reading it? And it was all there. And I went back a little bit and I was like, oh, everything is there, kind of pointing in that direction. And towards the end, you definitely see that. So, you know. Again, hats off to you, sir, because you did very well in this first issue.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're coming down to the end of the show here. Before we go, I wanted to just make sure that you can tell everybody where to find you. If you have social media, website, anything like that, even if you have the code for Previews World for Thompson Heller, Detective Interstellar, that would be awesome to kind of give everybody so that they can take a look at that as well and where they can purchase those books.
Okay, cool. Thank you. The easiest place to find me on the internet is on Twitter. I'm on the handle @CitizenMilton on Twitter. And I also have a website for the comic, thompsonheller.com. And you can watch a trailer video for the comic there. And there is a link to the previews listing, which, as you said, they have an order code associated with these things. And it's AUG, as in like the month of August, AUG 201595.
Cool. All right, guys, I definitely stress you guys need to go check this one out because this one is a really good issue. I'm very sure that the rest of the books are going to be just as amazing. You got some great artwork on there. You have Milton. You also have Dave Chisholm. Who else do you have on the book? Let me pull that up. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
We've got the kind of the debut, you know, it's not exactly debut, but the first full-length published work by the colorist Fabian Kobos.
Yeah.
And he just killed the colors. I got so lucky getting him, man. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking at the colors too, and it's awesome. Like, and even that first page there, where you see all the blues and all the crazy stuff going on in that that first scene there. I don't want to give too much for everybody because I want them to be able to go out and check it out. But I got to tell you, the colors in this issue was really great. Artwork is amazing always from Dave Chisholm. Hats off to you guys. You guys did an amazing job.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, man. We appreciate you coming on and hanging out with me here on the House of Indie. Super cool, man. I'm looking forward to this. I really want to talk. I wish we could talk a little bit more about Orson Welles' Warrior of the Worlds because this sounds like a super cool concept. We'll have you on once it comes out again, closer to the time that it's gonna be released. We'll talk again because. I was reading up on it a little bit. Sounds like a cool issue. Who do you have on doing the art with that one?
That one, the artist is Eric Whalen.
Okay.
And I am just, it's one of the hardest things to do in comics is to not show stuff when it's right. Ready. Like every new page the dude brings out, I'm like, oh my goodness,
yeah.
Let me show this. But, you know, I got to wait.
I know. I have creators talking to me. They're like, dude, check this out. But you can't tell nobody. You can't show this. I'm like, okay, cool. We'll do that. And then sometimes we talk off air and there's things that are in the works. So like, I really want to talk about it. But that's why I have a podcast and I can always have you guys back on. And we can talk about that stuff when it gets closer to time and when it's actually okay to talk about. Because, man, some of the stuff that that people tell me off air is definitely something to say. It's something to talk about. It's super fun, man. All right, Milton, I won't keep you any longer. I appreciate you hanging out with me. It was really fun.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right, everybody, head on out and check out Thompson Heller. Detective Interstellar coming to a shop near you. Put it in your pull list. I'm telling you guys, you don't want to sleep on this one. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks again for listening to
The House of Indie.
My name is Joey Galvez, and I'll see you later.